This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 17th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 108. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. A special edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Looking back at the highlights of the scandal at the legislature, beginning with the November 20th, 2018 bombshell. And Hong Kongers versus the government, 6 months of protests as residents of the semi-autonomous Chinese territory fight to protect their free economy, free press, and rule of law. I sit down with one of the protest leaders who came to Vancouver. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those who made a difference. November 20th marks the first anniversary of the most shocking day in the history of the British Columbia legislature. The story of Speaker Darrell Plekis and Chief of Staff Ellen Mullins' work to bring transparency and accountability to the legislature is a work in progress. Rewind to November 20th, 2018. A bombshell, the clerk, and the sergeant-at-arms suddenly suspended. November 20th, 2018, in the British Columbia legislature, drama and history. Solicitor General and NDP Government House Leader Mike Farnworth rose at 11:06 a.m. to deliver a bombshell about the Clerk of the House and the Sergeant-at-Arms and ask for a motion to suspend them both immediately and indefinitely.
Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. By leave, I move that Mr. Craig James, Clerk of the Legislative Assembly, and Mr. Gary Lenz, Sergeant-at-Arms, are placed on administrative leave with pay and benefits effective immediately. During the period of administrative leave and as a consequence of an outstanding investigation, Mr. James and Mr. Lenz must not access Legislative Assembly network equipment, systems, or services, and must not be present within any building that is part of the legislative precinct as defined in Section 1 of the Legislative Assembly Management Committee Act, RSBC 1996, C.258. This resolution is subject to periodic review and modification by the Legislative Assembly.
Honourable members, you heard the motion. All in favour say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Reporters caught up with Clerk Craig James as he was escorted from his office and the grounds of the legislature.
Do you have any idea what this is pertaining to?
No, I don't. And neither does the Sergeant-at-Arms.
It's completely baffling to everyone in the building.
Yeah. I think we have a right to know what it is.
Little did we know, but Speaker Darrell Plekis had met with Jeff Meigs, the Chief of Staff to Premier John Horgan, on July 30th, 2018. By the end of summer, the RCMP was investigating and, on October 1st, 2018, two special prosecutors were appointed, David Butcher and Brock Martland. November 26, 2018, Craig James and Gary Lenz appeared before reporters in Vancouver, emphasizing their innocence and demanding their reinstatement amid an RCMP investigation with two special prosecutors.
Although it is impossible to deny what you do not know, I firmly say that I have done nothing wrong, and that I am confident that an independent investigation now underway with the RCMP will clear me of any alleged wrongdoings.
I echo my colleagues' comments and concerns. I have been deeply impacted by what has occurred, as has my wife, my family, friends and relatives. I have received calls from others I do not even know who have offered their support. The damage to my reputation is irreparable. The healing can only begin with my return to work.
Your questions, please, one at a time. Yes,
sir. Hi, Sinjin with CTV. Gentlemen, whenever you have a fight with someone, in this case, being investigated, you always start racking your brains. What could I have done? What might it have been? What do you think it might have been? What went through your mind? What do you think it could have been?
I have no idea.
There was no money moved that shouldn't have been moved?
None at all. I have established processes in the Legislative Assembly that are essentially bulletproof. We have an executive committee, we have an audit working group, which I which I formed. The audit working group consists of a former auditor general and a controller general for the province who attends that meeting. I established the finance and audit committee, which would receive reports and engage in discussions on all kinds of financial issues. And of course, there's a statutory Legislative Assembly Management Committee.
December 6, 2018. Early on, the focus had shifted from the two suspended public officials, who were under suspicion of corruption, to the whistleblowers. At the Legislative Assembly Management Committee meeting, Daryl Plekis fought back at his critics and vowed to explain what led him to call the police.
I want all British Columbians to know. I want them to know what my concerns are. And I want them to know what Mr. Mullen was concerned about. I want that on the public record. I want everyone to know. And again, I'll emphasize, if there is one single thing about those audits, anything that says there's anything other than lots of things wrong, I promise you I will resign as Speaker. That ought to be enough for you to say that I think we're onto something here and it needs to be fixed. And it needs to be fixed through the Speaker's office because it hasn't been fixed for years.
January 21st, 2019, the release of the bombshell Plekis report at the Legislative Assembly Management Committee meeting. In the report, Plekis revealed that on his first day as Speaker, September 8th, 2017, he sensed something was wrong. There was a fully stocked liquor cabinet, and he found two more. In the report, he said it had been his previous experience that the government does not pay for alcohol for staff or members' personal consumption. So this was surprising to me. Plekis's chief of staff, Ellen Mullen, talked to reporters.
To read a little bit from the executive summary, which you will all read, just a couple of bullet points about what we're talking about and why I was so concerned and why the speaker was so concerned and why everybody should be concerned. Flagrant overspending on luxurious trips overseas with questionable business rationales. Expensing of all manner of personal purchases to the Legislative Assembly, totaling tens of thousands of dollars over a period of less than 2 years. And if we went back further, oh boy. Inappropriate payouts of cash in lieu of vacation, totaling in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Lack of oversight or appropriate protocols in the awarding of employment benefits, and evidence of attempts to obtain highly questionable further benefits, collectively representing actual or contingent liabilities to the Legislative Assembly, totaling in the millions of dollars. Using working time to make day or overnight trips away from the Legislative Assembly at the Legislative Assembly's expense for what appeared to be other than legitimate work purposes. Instances where thousands of dollars of alcohol and equipment may have been misappropriated from the Legislative Assembly. Various improprieties relating to management of employees, including retributive or otherwise unjustified terminations, and taking steps to conceal information which could indicate improperly claimed expenditures. Obviously, there's more in the report. It's 76 pages long. I would urge every single British Columbian to read the report cover to cover.
May 16th, 2019. The release of a report by retired Supreme Court Chief Justice Beverly McLaughlin. Rather than wait to be fired by the legislature, Craig James negotiated his retirement the night before. But Gary Lenz remained under suspension. Mike Farnworth, the government House leader, rose to deliver an update on the clerk and sergeant-at-arms who were suspended with pay 189 days earlier over an RCMP investigation into corruption and waste at the BC legislature.
The findings of Ms. McLaughlin are as follows. The sergeant-at-arms, Mr. Lenz, did not engage in misconduct with respect to the clerk. The special investigator found that Mr. James did engage in misconduct with respect to four of the five allegations, specifically in relation to making expense claims for improper purchases of a personal nature by directing the creation of three benefits to his personal advantage outside of established protocols, improperly removing Legislative Assembly property from the legislative precinct without accounting for it, and by improperly using legislative property for personal purposes. I wish to inform this House that Craig James has retired, effective today, and that a non-financial settlement has been reached between Mr. James and the Legislative Assembly.
James had been paid almost $180,000 while suspended, and the costs are not known for his lawyers and public relations agent. He had claimed he did no wrong, but on the eve of the report's release, he negotiated his retirement.
Do you think British Columbians should have confidence with the way that this place works?
I would say our goal, the goal of everyone, is to get to a place where we can. And I think this is a positive first step. We still have some ways to go.
September 19th, 2019, Auditor General Carol Bellringer released the first in a series of reports. Bellringer had convinced the Legislative Assembly Management Committee to let her do the report rather than send it out of province. But it was not the forensic audit that was expected. Daryl Plekis gave the Breaker.News an exclusive interview on September 20th.
I was under the impression, right from the beginning, that it would be a forensic audit. I had meetings with the auditor and her staff where I called attention to matters which I thought were criminal and had specific discussions about that. So I had lots of reason to, and some of which is indicated in my first report, I had lots of reason to think that there was untoward activity, unusual. I think the Auditor General has been quoted as saying she found nothing unusual and nothing which would indicate any kind of criminal wrongdoing, or any kind of fraud. I just have to say that boggles me. I've seen what I would describe as full-blown fraud with my own two eyes, discussed it with her people, and ultimately turned it over to police. I'm just astounded that there was no wrongdoing found there. You know, it wouldn't matter what you're looking at. It's spending in any manner of form. We don't have safeguards in place. I would say that finding is worse than any other finding we could have come up with, because anybody who understands corruption and corruption in organizations would say that is nothing short of a candy store for corruption. Like, if you want to facilitate, enable, allow people to do things, engage in untoward behavior, what better way to do it than have no policies at all?
On September 24th, Bellringer announced that she would quit before the end of the year. October 1st, suspended Sergeant-at-Arms Gary Lenz suddenly resigns. On October 8th, Legislative Assembly Management Committee released the Police Act investigation of Lenz by Doug Lepard, the retired Vancouver Police Deputy Chief. Lepard found that Lenz had lied to McLaughlin and to him. Lepard concluded that Lenz had committed an egregious breach of public trust. The RCMP investigation of James and Lenz continues. And keep following the Breaker.News and the Breaker.News podcast for developments in the scandal at the legislature. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. For 6 months and counting, Hong Kongers have been taking to the streets and taking to social media to show their discontent with Beijing. They were promised one country, two systems when the United Kingdom handed the territory over to China in 1997. But in 2019, millions of Hong Kongers are worried that their free economy, free press, and rule of law are under attack from Xi Jinping, the most powerful Chinese leader since Mao Zedong. Some 300,000 Canadians live in Hong Kong, and their future is also in jeopardy. Organizations like the Vancouver Society in Support of Democratic Movement and Canadian Friends of Hong Kong have held protests in Vancouver to gain attention. Last week, they held a forum to look back and to look ahead. One of the guests was Wing Tung Ho, a 22-year-old Hong Konger who is studying in Taiwan. Ho is convener of the Hong Kong Extradition Law Concern Group in Taiwan. She has organized Hong Kong students in Taiwan to support the anti-extradition bill protests and the Be Water movement. Ho, who was born in the auspicious year of 1997, came to Vancouver to appeal for international support. I sat down to interview Ho about the future of her home. Protests have largely been peaceful, but violence has gained headlines around the world. I asked Ho to explain why. She said it is all about protecting Hong Kongers from the police and to prevent Hong Kong from becoming the next Tibet or Xinjiang.
So we have to do something to defend our rights. And one of them is setting the roadblock on fire so it can slow down the police so they won't catch as much as protesters they can. The other action is we may try to scare the police. The police become that crazy, become that violent, is because they would not have any punishment after the violence. So we have to show that we want to protect our people. We want to protect every protester on the streets. We want to protect every citizen. So we try to against the violence from the police. It's just forced, actually. Well, I won't call this violence, since the protesters don't even have guns. They don't even have much weapons. All they have is just maybe some umbrella, some fire, but it is not much. It just can't compare to the police. We know that we can't go back before. If we keep this situation, if we do nothing or we just stop all the protesting, we will become the Xinjiang, we will become the Tibet immediately. All the camera, the facial recognition camera is setting up in Hong Kong. Like in August, there are some protests try to defend the facial recognition machine, so they destroy one of the lamppost. They destroy one of the lampposts and find that there's a clip. The lamppost then will send all the information to the China. So they are setting all these things right before the protest. So what if we stop in this moment? You know, the things were getting even worse. We know about our bodies, our family, our friends will getting arrested, we will be murdered, we may become a body in the ocean. So we cannot stop in this moment, and we will try everything to stop the police.
I also asked Ho about her feelings as a young person. How does she see the future of Hong Kong?
Actually, I am not very positive with this. China may block all the internet, may cancel the state election in the 24 November. Maybe they will maybe just the another Tiananmen scream happening in Hong Kong. So this is not positive, but we hope the international society, especially the trade world from China and USA, they will, when Hong Kong is between this super big country, we will find our place, and we may have a change. This may be a plot twist of the history of Hong Kong. And right now, Hong Kong people should looking for our sovereignty, because there are no freedom, no democracy without the sovereignty. So especially we have a time called 2047, which is the deadline of one country, two system. Hong Kong, especially the youth girl, have to think about this. Right in 2047, we are not dying yet. I'm just 22 years old this year. And we should think what should next in Hong Kong. The one country, two system is clearly a lie of China. Hong Kong people or everyone else in the world should not believe that. Just do not believe the, any promise from China. They are not gonna do their promise. They are not responding to their promise. And I hope not only Hong Kong people, but also people from international, from Canadian either, should realize that. Like the trade China try to make with Canada is the Huawei. They try to set up the internet in Canada. With the Huawei internet, there must a lot of freedom in Canada. And all the several of Canada, the information of Canada several will be sent into China. This is totally not acceptable. Right now, the world have to look into China. They have to take this problem seriously. First, Hong Kong. Second, Taiwan. The third, maybe every country in the world. China try to expand their power. They try to expand their power in all over the world. How can the world not see this? Right now, I don't think the situation of Hong Kong or Taiwan is positive. I don't think it will be turning into good in a short period. But in the long term, I think the economy of China is cracking down. The people in China actually don't like the government either, but because every word and action under the monitor, so they can't say it loud. But the fake news or the power or the monitor to the people will attack the government itself one day. So when the China was cracked down, I believe this will happen in 10 years. So then the Hong Kong or Taiwan or the world have to ready for this, no matter is about take over about the economy, the effects of economy or the politic ways. We have to know that China will have a big change in coming in 10 years.
The Canadian government, unlike the United States, has not taken a strong stand against the Hong Kong government. For that, it has received criticism. But how does Ho feel about support from average Canadians, from groups like the Canadian Friends of Hong Kong?
Firstly, of course, I thank you for the Canadian Hong Kong Friendship Society. These people actually try to active in the pro-democracy activities since the 1989. So these people actually is from the last pro-democracy movement, and we know that all generation, all people in international world actually supporting Hong Kong. We know that the international pressure should not only come from the USA, but also come from the other vendor, from Germany, from Canada, from British. And Canada is in an interesting situation because of the Meng Wanzhou, and also there's some Canadian was arrested in China. It's actually a example to show the world how China is fleeting all over the world, how dangerous China is it. So when we look into Canada, of course we hope the Canada can be as a resting country, as a pro-democracy, pro-freedom country. You definitely should against Huawei, should against the power from the CCP, like there's some a lot of organization actually handling by the CCP government, and then they said they're
native clans association,
but actually they are the organization from the CCP. So is Canada should show the world how strong the world they are, how the attitudes the world of against the Communist Party.
That was Hong Kong's Wing Tung Ho, who is studying in Taiwan and organizing protests in support of civil rights in Hong Kong. She visited Vancouver last week. You can follow Friends of Hong Kong on Twitter at CanFriendsHK, as well as the Vancouver Society in Support of Democratic Movement, vssdm.org. The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or group of people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to BC Legislature Speaker Darrell Plekis, his Chief of Staff Alan Mullen, and the whistleblowers of the legislature. And Wing Tung Ho and the Hong Kongers and Taiwanese who are standing up against Beijing. With this, we salute corruption fighters and democracy supporters everywhere. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send us an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 17th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on November 17th in 1973, amid the Watergate scandal, President Richard Nixon said this?
That in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.